Today's session is entitled God's Will Equals Poverty, Misery, and Other Punishments, the Impact of the Dominant Theology on the Honduran Poor. Today we want to talk about sort of what the dominant theology is, which is, and what I mean by dominant theology is sort of the average person's image of God. And this image of God is not just something that I've noticed in Honduras and Mexico, but pretty much all over the place. It's kind of the dominant theology that we're going to articulate is a theology that I think is probably the dominant theology on the planet, really. It's an image of God as all-powerful, as sovereign, as majestic, as distant judge, you know, and many of those attributes are attributes that, you know, that are part of our creeds and that we affirm. But this dominant theology that we're going to be articulating or looking at is we're going to look at the dark side of that theology and sort of how it impacts people who are on the bottom of our society. Of course, it impacts us as well, those that wouldn't be on the bottom. But one of the ways that I think we're going to try approaching this from a different angle, and that's by having our friends here tell stories of how they experience the upper classes in their own countries. You know, what sort of treatment have they experienced from people who are above them socially? Because see, in Honduras, the average person has an image of God as sovereign and as, you know, a very high view of God's sovereignty. Everything that happens is God's will. So if the rich are rich, it's because it's God's will. If the poor are poor, it's because it's God's will. In a way, they pushed, you know, kind of this idea of sovereignty to its extreme. So anyway, the way that they might experience the dominant classes would be a similar way that they might see themselves before God. So what we're going to try to do is from their stories of their experiences with the dominant classes, we're going to try to flesh out what the dominant theology is, see if that works.
Estoy contando que lo que vamos a hacer ahora es que ustedes cuenten un poco de algunas experiencias que ustedes han tenido con las clases dominantes de su país o aquí, y cómo ustedes han sentido frente a la marginación que ustedes han sentido. ¿Verdad? Yo no sé quién quiere empezar.
And we're going to be talking about how people, you know, how immigrants also who are here in this country might feel before the dominant class, which would be the, you know, the white kind of establishment, I guess, in America. That's going to be part of this picture. We're broadening the discussion to include, you know, North as well as South, the Hondurans.
Pues, tengo 10 años de estar aquí en Estados Unidos.
I've been here 10 years in the United States.
Y es algo que es una situaciones que yo viví en México, pues no son nada parecidas a lo que se ha podido vivir acá.
The situations that I've gone through in Mexico are really nothing compared to what I've experienced here.
Es difícil para los latinos, pues, convivir con una mayoría blanca, ¿no?
It's difficult for Latinos to be able to live together with a white majority.
Tengo muchas amistades que son blancas.
I have many friends who are
pero
white.
Pero no por eso he encontrado gente que es difícil de tratar.
But I have also encountered people who are very difficult to deal
que
with.
Que lo hacen a uno sentir, pues, un insecto.
Okay.
Insecto.
Oh, who's people who might make you feel like you're an insect. For whatever reason, they would treat us with, you know, looking down upon us.
Pero pues casi eso siempre lo he visto con gente que no por ejemplo, en las tiendas, gente que no nos conoce.
But these are usually, this is usually something I experience with people who do not know me, people like in the stores.
Pero pues es algo que uno está siempre como en guardia. Siempre
but it's something uno, that we are always on, I'm always on the defensive.
Siempre está uno, con un escudo hacia los demás.
I feel like we are always with like a shield before protecting ourselves from others.
Es pues uno ve a la gente blanca pues como que estamos yo lo siento demasiado alejado, o sea, a los latinos. O sea, para mí es no siento que no podría aún hoy después de 10 años.
One feels a great distance between oneself and the white community, even though I've been here for 10 years.
Es algo que no se supera fácilmente.
It's something that is not able. It's one. One's not able to get beyond easily at all. Put it down, ejemplo.
Pues el estar viviendo en una sociedad blanca y tratar de convivir con los demás.
To live within a white community and to try to live together with others.
Es difícil. It's difficult. Difícil para un latino.
It's difficult for a Latino person.
Bob, yesterday we were introduced to the other Hondurans, but we never were introduced to Miss Robles. What is her role?
Oh yes,
in Burlington.
Okay, Rocio Robles is a woman from Veracruz, Mexico, and she has been part of our ministry, Tierra Nueva del Norte, for the last 6 years, basically since we started, and has gone through a big training process and has recently been commissioned as a lay pastor. Even though right now she's more like a worker pastor because she's working 12 hours a day, 6 days a week in an artificial crab processing plant. But our hope is to be able to hire her full time as soon as possible as a pastoral worker in her ministry. No sé si quien quiere comunicar. Contar algo.
Bueno. La gente de nuestro país, Honduras,
people in our country are hard.
Como dijimos que más de un 80% es pobre.
Like I said, about 80% are poor.
Se cría con un complejo.
We are raised up with a complex.
Por nacimiento, ¿verdad?
From birth.
Ellos piensan, o pensamos, quizás, que...
They think, or we think,
que no tenemos derecho,
that we don't have right
a muchas cosas,
to many things
que otros la tienen.
that other people have.
Pero es por el simple hecho de que,
but it's for the simple fact that
de que nos diferencian las clases sociales,
that there's a differentiating between different social classes
en todos los aspectos,
in every way possible.
El rico siempre quiere estar más arriba,
the rich always want to be higher up.
Al pobre lo menosprecia siempre.
And the poor people are always put down.
Bueno, eso es algo que vive en la persona pobre.
This is something that poor people live, experience.
Porque sabemos que todos merecemos respeto, merecemos...
We know that we all deserve respect.
Digamos, somos iguales ante Dios.
We are equal before God.
Pero así es la vida.
But life is, I see that's the way life is different.
Hemos visto, yo he visto muchas experiencias.
I've seen, I've had many experiences.
Hay personas que no van a una iglesia porque no tienen ropa.
There are people that don't go to a church
ropa
because they don't have clothing.
Que confronte con los demás.
Clothing to be in a public place.
Aunque sientan el deseo.
Even though they feel the desire.
Pero son pobres.
But they're poor.
Ellos les parece que no tienen derecho.
And they feel like they have no right.
Sí, solamente.
Yeah. Okay, so if we were to look just from these two stories it's sort of the image that the people would feel. Let's say if we have the on this side the dominant kind of classes. Entonces las clases dominantes, ellos quieren ser visto como. So the dominant classes, they want to be seen in what way?
Superior.
Superior, okay. Okay, ¿qué más podemos decir?
Sí. Sobre las clases dominantes en cuanto a la ley, en cuanto al militarismo, podemos decir.
¿La qué?
Militarismo.
Oh, and like if we think about the dominant classes in terms of the law and like military.
Pues nosotros como campesinos.
We as peasants.
Frente a esa gente.
Standing before these people, military people.
Nos sentimos completamente menospreciados.
We feel completely put down.
Porque no tenemos un derecho a.
Because we don't have a right.
A reclamar.
We can't right. We have no right to protest.
Ningún derecho.
Or to have any demand any kind of right. Because we've been denied our rights.
Porque yo le voy a contar una historia.
I want to tell a story. A story that is a real story that I've lived.
Me trajeron un hijo preso.
I had a son who was taken prisoner.
Yo vine al siguiente día.
And I came the next day.
A ver qué podía hacer por él para sacarlo.
To see what I could do to get him out of the jail.
Y la sorpresa fue que al llegar allí, pues, el delegado me recibió y me hizo unas preguntas.
The surprise was that when I got there, the official, he asked me some questions.
Y cuando yo le pregunté que cuál era, me pongaron a explicar cuál era la causa que tenía el muchacho.
And when I asked him, what is the cause, what's the reason that my son is in jail?
Me dijo que no tenía que saber, lo que me tocaba era pagar una multa de 100 lempiras.
He says, I didn't have any right to know, but that I had to pay a fine of 100 lempiras.
Entonces yo le pregunté que por favor me explicara por qué iba a pagar la multa.
So I asked him, why do I have to pay? Explain to me why I have to pay this fine.
Y se enojó tanto.
And he got so mad.
Que me sacó a pechadas de la delegación y me tiró fuera a la calle.
So he took me out physically and he threw me out on the street.
Y de ahí entró para adentro otra vez y me trajo el maletín y me lo tiró a la calle.
And then he went in again, and he took my bag and he threw it out into the street.
Entonces yo con la actitud de él, verdad, me sentí bien pequeño.
And so with the attitude that he demonstrated, I felt very small.
Para poder hablar con él.
To be able to speak to him.
Entonces decidí no volver donde él.
So I decided not to go back to him.
Y de ahí me fui. Y un soldado me regresó y me dijo que volviera, que era el delegado así era, que era enojado, y que, pero que ya estaba un poco pacífico, pero yo lleno de miedo, ya no regresé.
But someone told me to go ahead and go back there and to talk to him that I should go back, and that I was so full of fear that I couldn't go back.
Y entonces él salió y entonces quedó en poder de otro encargado, entonces fui a pagarle 50 lempiras ya después.
So the other soldier, the official, left, and my son was under the supervision of another delegate, another official. So I went and I paid the fine.
Para llevar el muchacho.
To be able to take my son. Okay, so in this situation we have someone who considers themselves obviously superior and big. Important.
Corrupt.
What's that?
Corrupt.
Intimidating.
They probably don't consider themselves corrupt, but they are. Did he ever find out why his son was taken?
Y usted se dio cuenta porque su niño, su joven, su hijo fue arrestado.
Sí. La causa de que ellos lo apresaran fue por un malinforme.
The cause was because they were misinformed of the soldiers.
De un pastor evangélico.
From a evangelical pastor.
De que lo acusaba de ser en, de ser, ¿cómo se dice? Líder de una mara.
Una mara es qué?
Mara le decimos.
Un grupo de un grupo rebelde.
Sí.
Oh yeah, an evangelical pastor accused him of being a group, a leader of a rebel group.
Pero eso era algo que era una cosa inventada.
But this was something that was totally invented.
Porque siempre cuando tenemos algo en contra de una persona tratamos de acusarla.
Because if we have a personal problem with someone, we tend to accuse them, falsely accuse them. So how would, if we look at the dominant classes or authority, whatever, the authorities, I guess it's not just the authorities, but the whole dominant classes, and then we look at the people on the bottom or whatever, how would those folks feel vis-a-vis all of these adjectives? Okay, superior, so obviously inferior. Big and important.
Okay. Small and worthless.
Small, worthless. Insect, rociosa. Insect-like. Okay, intimidating.
Helpless.
Intimidated.
Helpless.
Hopeless. Helpless. Helpless and hopeless.
Angry.
Hope. Angry. Estamos mirando en español, pues, la gente frente a todo eso puede sentir inferior, pequeño, sin significación, como un insecto, pues, sin poder, sin esperanza y enojado. Son reacciones, ¿no?
Sí. Que yo siento que esa es la causa de ser pobre.
¿Cuál?
De que todo se le puede acusar. De toda se le puede acusar.
I feel like this is one of the causes of being poor, Jorge is saying, that one can be accused of everything. So, another thing about would be the accuser. Than the accused. It's interesting that the name Satan means the accuser, the one who accuses.
Bob, is there no ballot? Is there no power to voting to every person?
Yeah, there's power to vote, but your options in terms of voting are about like our options.
None of them are satisfactory.
They're even worse, probably.
Worse because there's really no voice for the poor at all. Yeah.
Right. What did you say, Grace?
I see. I think they're worse than our options.
That's right.
Can you give us some perspective on how much 100 lempiras is?
100 lempiras, okay, 15 lempiras to a dollar. Yeah, but in Honduras, the daily wage is. ¿Cuánto gana un trabajador por día?
$2 de 7.
¿Cuántas lempiras?
Valoradas en 30 lempiras.
30 lempiras is a day's wage, which is $2.
$2 de 7 a 4.
No sé si otro tiene una experiencia que quiere contar.
Sí, yo creo que, haciendo un poco de resumen de lo que han dicho los anteriores, la discriminación existe a nivel mundial.
Discrimination exists on a moral level.
Hay que recordar que somos humanos.
We have to remember we're humans.
Y el mismo diablo se quiso creer superior a Dios.
And the same devil wanted to make himself superior to God.
Ahí en mi pueblo funcionó una tienda.
In my town there's a store.
La cual yo pedí trabajo.
It's a place where I asked for work.
Y me dieron ganados de dependiente, ganando 5 centavos de dólar el día.
And at that store I was given a job for 5 cents, US cents a day.
Y la, resulta que cuando ya empecé a trabajar, ellos distribuían mucha carga y no habían vehículos, sino que habían bestias, y me mandaban a barrer todo lo que la bestia botaba.
And they, at that point, there were no vehicles or anything, so we had to distribute a lot of products out to the villages. And
in carts.
In with horses, and my job was to sweep up all the manure from the animals.
Pero eso no me preocupaba porque es un trabajo.
But this didn't worry me because this was a job that I was able to do.
Pero lo más triste,
but the saddest thing for me,
era cuando venía el tiempo de comida.
Well, the saddest thing was when it was time to eat.
Todos ellos sentados alrededor de la mesa.
They all sat down around a big table.
Y a mí me sacaban y me tiraban allá en una grada con el perro.
And they took me out into a room where the dog was with my plate.
Y comí así,
and I ate
y el plato
there.
Y tal vez el vaso lleno de fresco y el perro me lo lamía.
And maybe I had a glass full of juice in the pan, the dog would eat, drink out of it.
Y por la menor cosa me daban una muy buena reprendida.
And for the smallest thing, they'd give me a very strong scolding.
Pero lo número uno era el trato cuando lo que más me dolía era el tiempo de comida, la discriminación.
But what hurt me the most was the time it was time to eat and the way I was discriminated against.
Mm-hmm. How old was he at the time?
¿Cuántos años tenía en este tiempo?
Tenía 20 más o menos.
20 years old.
20 años. De ahí me propuse en mi corazón, yo tengo que superarme.
At that point, I said in my heart, I have to improve myself.
Sí, Jorge Mejía dijo algo bien importante con respecto al abuso.
Jorge Mejía said something very important concerning abuse.
De las personas superiores a las inferiores, ¿no?
The people who are from people who are superior to those who are inferior.
Esto se mira frecuentemente.
This is something we see frequently in our country.
Cosas que nosotros admiramos aquí.
Something that we admire here.
Ustedes que nosotros ignoramos sus títulos.
We look at you and maybe we ignore your titles.
No, just don't know what they are.
Or we don't know your titles.
Yeah. Están aquí escuchándonos.
But you're here listening to us.
Cosa que en nuestro país.
Something in our country.
Nunca nos escuchan.
That would never happen. No one would ever listen to us.
Todo es negativo.
Everything's negative.
¿Qué podemos aprender de campesinos?
They would say, what can we learn from a peasant? Is there anything else we want to add to this list from what we've heard?
Institutions on the way.
Okay.
Or in their favor.
What's that?
You know, work on behalf of the dominant classes.
Okay,
for
right.
For example, the person he went to in prison who acted, the jailer, or who acted like, of course, that it would be on his side, you know, not on the side of him.
Okay, right. So, in terms
power
of the dominant classes, these dominant classes, I mean, all the institutions, you know, work for themselves, right? So, these particular forces, they're superior, you know, before the people that are on the bottom, but for their peers, I mean, they all serve themselves, right? The institutions of the state serve themselves, basically.
Then I think we just heard the dominant classes would consider themselves omniscient or all-knowing.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. Opposite.
Kind of like they're in control of destiny, you know, the destiny of everything.
All-knowing, and in contrast, like the people would be?
Ignorant.
Ignorant. Okay, and what were you saying, Gracie? Control.
The control of destiny, the destiny of the world, almost godlike. Because they hold all the power.
And in contrast, the people would feel helpless and out of control. Well, we have helpless, that's the same. So.
Trapped, yeah.
Trapped, yeah.
Entonces aquí estamos viendo cómo la gente siente, se siente frente a las clases dominantes, ¿no? Aquí tenemos inferior, pequeño, sin importancia, como un insecto intimidado, pues sin poder, sin esperanza, enojado, acusado, ignorantes, atrapados. Y las clases dominantes se ven superior, grande, importante, corrompido, pues ellos no se ven corrompidos, pero intimidados, con poder acusador, pues, conoce todo, controlando a todos, todopoderoso.
I was just going to say that having lived in long countries and traveled in them, even though, you know, I am white and appear to have wealth and all, that there's been times when what's really, especially with the military and the government, that I felt powerless because they have the power. You know,
que aunque, pues yo he viajado mucho y aunque soy blanco y todo, muchas veces yo he sentido frente a los militares, más que todo, que yo no tengo ningún poder, ellos tienen todo el poder también.
Like traveling from village to village or going across borders.
O quizás viajando en otros países cuando yo tenía que viajar de un pueblo a otro pueblo o cruzando fronteras.
You know, like traveling into Guatemala where we were fearful of the military and government and having to give money in order to get
Guatemala,
water.
Cuando nosotros entramos a Guatemala teníamos miedo de los militares también. Claro, nosotros también.
But we have power in a way, yes. In that we know that the U.S. government might help us, that we can go
might
to the...
Us,
yeah, right. Well, I was in a position, Gracie and I had a job where our role was to receive refugees fleeing from the war in El Salvador. We were to go down to the border between El Salvador and Honduras with United Nations flags and wave them for the refugees to come out to us, right? And we had a Guatemalan Indian woman who was going to be working with us, but when we arrived to start the job, a Guatemalan doctor who was our main contact person, he'd been disappeared. Uh-huh. And his body turned up a couple days later. And he'd been killed by the Honduran army. So we were told that the Guatemalan Indian woman couldn't work with us, you know, by the agency, the United Nations and Mennonite Central Committee. And so basically our position was to use our nationality to protect the people, right? Because it was a way of using our power and our privilege to kind of stand with people that were considered insects or whatever, kind of subversives, you know, disposable. So, I mean, I think we still have power, but I often feel powerless before my government, too.
On a daily basis in Honduras, is there any agency or church or group or government agency or anybody that would help the peasants?
En todos los días, pues en Honduras, en su aldea hay agencias o hay grupos que están dispuestos a ayudar a los que no existen.
Sí, hay iglesias.
There are churches, yes.
Only churches.
Solamente iglesias.
Solo iglesias.
Yeah, only churches.
Sí, bueno, hay veces toda persona tenemos un compromiso con la sociedad, ¿verdad? Formamos un papel, o sea, desempeñamos un papel. Este papel puede ser la superación en todos los aspectos, espiritual, material. Sí, me refiero, por caso, pues yo me he identificado como líder, sí, como líder en la comunidad.
Espérame. ¿Puede empezar otra vez?
Sí. Mira, o sea, toda persona... tenemos un propósito, ¿no?
All of us, we have,
viene
we
al mundo
have a
con un propósito.
We have a purpose in this life.
Pero hay que conocerlo uno.
We have to know what our purpose is.
En el caso mío, yo comencé siendo líder.
In my case, I was a leader in my community.
De fútbol.
A leader of a soccer team.
Nuevamente seguí dirigente comunal.
Then I became a leader of my community.
De ahí, pues, me involucré en la política.
Then I became involved in politics.
Yo fui empleado en una alcaldía municipal.
I was an employee in municipality.
A la par, iba en la cultura de Tierra Nueva, de Honduras.
At the same time, I was a worker with Tierra Nueva.
Entonces, conocí más la necesidad de ser líder.
So I learned more about the need of being a leader.
Pues... como Tierra Nueva tenemos compromiso de colaborar,
our ministry Tierra Nueva, we have a commitment
de apoyar
to collaborate, to help
los grupos que son para el bien comunal,
groups that are there for the good of the
sea, sea espiritual,
whether they're spiritual
o sea material,
or material groups.
Entonces nosotros damos apoyo,
so we help,
organizamos equipos de fútbol para que los jóvenes tengan en qué divertirse,
so the kids have something to do.
Apoyamos las iglesias,
we help the churches
en algún aspecto,
in some ways or
another. Parece que no, vamos a alargar la plática, pero a veces es importante.
I'm going to continue speaking a little bit more, but I think it's important.
Yo soy un presidente de un patronato comunal.
I'm president of our village organization.
Católico.
I'm also a Catholic.
Viene un pastor evangélico,
an evangelical pastor comes to my village,
a dar un culto,
and they want to do
a la comunidad,
to the community.
No hay iglesia, no hay casa de oración.
But there's no church and no building.
Entonces hay cuatro vecinos de la comunidad que son miembros de la iglesia de aquel pastor evangélico.
So and there are four members of our community who are members of that church where the evangelical community is.
Sucede de que ellos son miembros de la comunidad, tienen derecho a la casa comunal, van a de mí
y me dicen, members of the community and they come to me and they have a right to the community.
Présteme la casa.
The village center.
Présteme la casa comunal.
The house.
Présteme la casa comunal para dar un culto.
Let us use the communal
Vamos
house for having worship.
A predicar la palabra
so
de Dios.
Preach the word of God.
Entonces vine yo y me reuní con tres miembros directivos de la junta directiva del patronato.
So I came and I met with four members,
digo,
of the members of our patronato. Se,
nos pusimos de acuerdo.
And we were agreed.
De acuerdo. Y le dimos la llave de la casa comunal.
And we gave the key to the communal house.
Bueno, yo soy en ese tiempo delegado de la palabra.
At that time I was a delegate of the word.
De la reunión católica.
That's like a lady.
Cuando, bueno, se lleva el culto ahí, ¿verdad?
So that's we have our services too.
Entonces, cuando viene el sacerdote católico.
Oh no, I mean the evangelicals have their service there.
Habían dos monjas norteamericanas.
And there were two North American women religious.
Ellas patrocinaban todos los, ¿cómo se llaman? Los cursos, los seminarios de delegados.
And they were in charge of organizing all the training for the
Yo tenía dos niveles. Dos niveles que ellas me habían proporcionado la enseñanza.
I've gone through two levels of teaching with them.
Entonces, cuando llegaron ellos a los ocho días a celebrar la misa,
to do the mass,
dijeron,
after the evangelicals had done their service.
Pero otra persona les dijo a ellas, este hombre anda con los evangélicos.
Somebody else had denounced
yes,
him as going with, being with the
un traidor a la iglesia.
As a traitor to the church.
Y ya comprometió a la comunidad.
And,
entonces,
and committed the community to
me dice el sacerdote y una monja, ¿por qué usted ha hecho eso?
And
porque usted nos ha traicionado.
Said, why have you done this?
Usted
why
es un traidor a la iglesia.
You're a traitor of the church.
Le digo el qué, porque soy traidor.
He says, why am I a traitor to this
Es que usted trajo el diablo aquí.
He says, you brought the devil.
Aquí está el diablo metido en este
Here
salón.
The devil is committed, is into our village.
¿Por qué le digo yo? Porque esa gente anda el diablo metido.
Because these people have the devil inside.
Entonces le digo yo, no miro que tienen el diablo.
And I said, I don't see the devil.
Porque yo... yo sé que ellos andan predicando la palabra de Dios.
They're preaching the word of God.
Y la palabra de Dios es bienvenida de cualquier boca.
And the word of God is welcome in whatever form.
Ah, pues, no. Usted queda discriminado como delegado.
They
usted
said,
es un traidor.
They said, no, you've made a bad choice as a
Le digo, la casa comunal se necesitaba para actividades comunales.
I said, no, the communal house is for communal.
Ahí llevaban, no, yo no. Porque yo solo sería la casa comunal como presidente del patronato. Se llevaban guaro, cerveza, bebidas.
There sometimes there were big parties with all the beverages.
Entonces le digo, para mí, Leo, el diablo puede andar en una persona que ande ebria, que ande faltando, que ande peleando.
Pero
en una persona que predica la palabra, no.
But someone who is preaching the word of God, no.
Pero usted sabe, todos los líderes tenemos un líder que quiere ser más.
But you know, when there are leaders, there's always one leader that wants to be above the rest.
Y no puede ser líder nada más que acusando al otro.
And you can't be a leader, though, just accusing all the others.
Otra persona de la comunidad dice, sí, él se prestó la comunidad sin permiso, él, la casa comunal sin permiso.
But somebody else said, denounced him and said,
nos ha dejado por fuera.
Loaned out the communal house without permission.
Entonces dice el sacerdote, hasta aquí no más, no lo necesiten para...
So the priest said, "That's as far as we can go. We don't need you anymore as a leader."
Le dije, está bien, está bien.
And I said, "That's okay."
Pero sí, este es nuestro trabajo ahí, organizar, buscar apoyo.
But that's our work there, to organize people to look for help.
A los jóvenes, darles ocupación
to find
sana,
to keep the,
sana.
Keep the
no,
young people busy in a
sí,
healthy way.
Para evitar la inmigración a la
to
ciudad.
Avoid the migration to the cities.
Y acá al norte.
Or to the North America.
Sí, solamente.
That's all. Okay, so if we looked at the dominant classes there, we could see that the church in this case, you know, had a role of control and power, all-knowing, you know, a very similar role.
Was he excommunicated?
He was basically excommunicated. ¿Usted fue excomulgado, más o menos?
Sí.
Yeah.
Sí.
Yes, he was. Okay, so I'd like to move now, based on what we have here in terms of the social classes, to just a more general discussion about how people view God. Quiero que pasamos ahora al tema de cómo la gente mira a Dios. No sé si nos sirve darnos a explicar eso.
Yo soy mexicana.
I'm a Mexican.
Vengo de una familia católica.
I
toda mi familia
Catholic
es católica. Y la mayor parte de los mexicanos somos católicos. Algo que yo he visto desde mi niñez y que todos y que he visto en toda la gente es esa manera de ver a Dios.
Is this way of seeing God?
Yo creo que no tanto que, pues tal vez sí un poco la iglesia, un poco la tradición que ha pasado de generación en generación la manera de ver a Dios. Ese Dios que castiga.
A God who punishes.
Ese Dios duro.
A God who's hard.
Ese Dios distante, lejano.
A God who's far away.
Que está en el cielo.
Remote, who's in the
nosotros
heaven.
Acá, en la tierra.
Not here on the earth.
Y este es una concepción que siempre hemos tenido y que está muy, muy, muy arraigado en nosotros.
This is a concept of God that we've always had and it's very deeply rooted in us.
Estamos criados con frases como pórtate bien o Dios te va a castigar.
We are raised by our parents with phrases like behave yourself or God will punish you.
O por ejemplo, me fue mal en la escuela o la voluntad de Dios.
Or things went bad in school and that was the will
of God. Un niño se murió, alguien enfermó, pues es un castigo de Dios.
It's a punishment from God.
Entonces es algo tan adentro de uno que está
so deeply inside
pegado.
It's so deeply rooted in us.
Yo no realmente no sabía de la gracia de Dios.
I really didn't know about the
la misericordia
God, about
de
the
Dios.
Mercy of God.
Hasta que llegué acá a los Estados Unidos.
Until I came here to the United States.
Con estos señores, con los ECMO.
With the ECMO.
O sea, ellos, pues, tantito la curiosidad de conocer un poco más la Biblia, pero
the curiosity that I also
pues,
had to know the Bible.
También las ganas de saber interpretarla, de saber
and also the desire to learn how to interpret the Bible.
Lo correcto.
To interpret it correctly.
Todo eso me ha llevado a saber que hay un Dios.
All of that has helped me become aware that there's a different
Dios misericordioso,
God, a merciful God.
Un Dios de amor.
A God of love. Y en Honduras, ¿cómo es que la gente, pues, quizás afuera de la iglesia, cómo es que la gente ve a Dios? Es que la gente ve a Dios como hemos visto, que la gente, la misma manera que la gente ve a las clases dominantes, o cómo? I'm asking them whether, how do people in Honduras view God? Do they view God in the same way that they would view the dominant classes? Similar way?
Sí, podemos considerar tiene mucha semejanza.
We can see that there's much similarity.
El pensamiento de la gente pobre.
The poor people, the way they think.
Tanto ante las personas dominantes.
The people who are dominant.
Como ante Dios.
They feel the same way before God.
Porque vemos que, digamos, una iglesia cristiana evangélica.
If we see like an evangelical Christian church,
la mayoría de las personas que están acudiendo a esta iglesia,
the majority of the people that go to these churches,
van muy bien vestidas,
they go well dressed,
con su buen calzado,
with nice shoes,
y todos van perfectamente vestidos,
and everyone goes perfectly dressed.
Y el joven, el pobre, perdón,
and a poor person,
no está con aquella ¿cómo le pudiéramos decir? El pensamiento erróneo,
it's a wrong thought,
de que no puede asistir ahí porque anda mal vestido.
Because they're not poor, they're poorly dressed.
Tal vez con ropas parchadas.
Maybe with clothes with patches.
La iglesia católica,
the Catholic Church,
a la que yo pertenezco,
that I belong to,
tiene igual imagen. Entonces todos aquellos que pensamos así, tenemos una imagen errónea de Dios.
So we have an erroneous view of God.
Lo que decía la hermana, que lo consideramos como un Dios azote.
God to be a God with a big club.
Un Dios de castigo.
A God who's punishing.
Que a cada paso que nosotros cometemos una falta,
that every step that we take, that's,
Él nos va a castigar.
We commit a fault, God will punish us.
Olvidando que Él es un Dios de perdón.
Forgetting that God is a God of forgiveness.
Un Dios de misericordia.
A God of mercy.
Y un Dios de amor.
And a God of love. Jorge, no sé, Jorge Mejía, ¿tiene algo? ¿Añadir?
Pues no, porque hay veces que.
What did you ask him?
I just said, do you feel free to, have you always felt free to enter a church?
Por el hecho de que uno no puede participar.
Because of the fact that I'm not able to participate, that I feel less, feel humiliated. Because one thinks that the people who are directing the church, they know everything, and we don't know anything. No sé si hay otra opinión sobre la manera que la gente ve a Dios, ¿no?
Sí, yo creo que esas varias partes de Latinoamérica de que miran a Dios.
I think in various places in Latin America we see
en una forma como un Dios de solo de castigo.
As a God only of punishment.
Pero a medida uno va escudriñando la palabra de Dios.
But little by little, as one begins to study the word God.
Yo estuve mucho tiempo visitando la iglesia católica.
I was visiting the Catholic Church for a long time.
Iba a la iglesia católica porque la misa se realiza a las 7 de la mañana.
And I went to the Catholic Church because the mass was at 7 in the morning.
Y el culto a las 9. Entonces me venía de paso para el culto.
And then the evangelical church was at 9.
Yo quería buscar,
the evangelical church.
Buscar a ver dónde.
I wanted to go and find where.
Y entonces me fue llamando la atención algunas cosas.
Some things were striking me.
Y la realidad de las cosas es que en ninguna de las dos nos ordena que hagamos lo malo. Pero en ninguna de las dos nos ordena que hagamos lo malo.
And neither one of those churches do they tell us to do evil.
Pero también podía observar en las dos iglesias.
But we can see in the two churches
que la gente poderosa económicamente,
that the powerful people who are economically powerful,
son las que ocupan los primeros puestos,
are the ones that have the highest positions,
los primeros asientos,
the first seats.
Tipo fariseo. Entonces fue así, estuve yendo por mucho tiempo observando las dos y las dos, y yo creí nunca haber sido evangélico. Pero como uno no se manda solo, quien lo convence es el Espíritu Santo. Así llegué a conocer al Señor Jesucristo.
I came to know Jesus Christ.
Pero siempre he observado que hay discriminación.
But I still observe that there is discrimination.
También en las iglesias hay algunas reglas que ayudan a que la gente tenga ese temor de buscar a Dios y de
formar una. Also, there are certain rules in the churches that make people afraid to seek God.
Y de formar una imagen errónea.
And it helps contribute to this erroneous view of God. Por ejemplo. For example.
Una persona que no está casada.
A person who's not married.
O que ha cometido alguna falta y, well, y la conoce
some,
la iglesia.
Some problem, some error, and the church knows about it.
No tiene derecho a la cena del Señor.
They don't have the right to the communion, the supper, Lord's supper.
Y con eso esta gente le están diciendo que como que no vale nada.
And so, but just by doing this, these rules, it's like saying that people have no value. Y la mayor parte de la gente en Honduras están casadas. And the majority of Honduras people are married.
Hay muchos que no están casados.
There's many people that are not married.
Y están privados de la cena del Señor.
So they're deprived of the Lord's Supper in both evangelical and the Catholic churches.
Okay. Why?
Because they're living, they're fornicating.
Oh. That's the answer. If you're not married, they say you're living.
Are they assumed?
Even if you're with that partner.
80%, about 85% of the people in Honduras are in common law relationships.
Why?
I don't know.
Why would they not get married?
Well, for one thing, they have to follow the discipline of the church, whatever that is, and many of them are completely, like if you want to be married by the evangelical church, you have to, yeah, if you're baptized as a child, that's worthless. You have to be rebaptized again, and then you have to submit to this discipline, and it takes quite a while
to be
able to merit, okay, being able to have those rights of being married. If you're Catholic, it's similar too, and it's expensive. People want to feel like they can have a party, and they don't have the money to throw a party, so it's a humiliating thing.
So it's the marriage itself, it's not dowries and this kind of thing that
no,
would prevent it.
No.
Would you please define evangelical?
Evangelical would be what we would consider more fundamentalist, but it would be a belief in, you know, in the authority, like the inerrant authority of the scriptures, and you know, and pretty much a position like what the ELCA would hold, except with this image of God, the very negative image of God, that you had to please through your behavior. That would probably dominate over the theology of grace.
Well, I might also add that there are a few additions too. Like there's this thing about raising your hand, that if you don't raise your hand, I guess that means like raising your hand to accept Jesus or something, then that means you're not a real evangelical. So we've had people coming to us and saying, if I don't raise my hand, does that mean I can't be saved? Because what if I've already in my own way, you know, accepted God into my life, and I feel like that's where I am already. Do I have to physically raise my hand up like this? And some people feel like that is something you have to do. Or
está preguntando qué es una iglesia evangélica, qué es lo que cree la
iglesia. You can't smoke, you can't ever drink alcohol.
Estoy explicando.
All the moral things.
Is there nothing like Catholicism and evangelicalism?
Nothing, no. There's Tierra Nueva, there's our ministry, at least in this region. And there are. There's basically very minimal mainline Protestant presence in the poor areas, you know, in the country. In big cities, you'll always find, you know, some mainline churches, but they're usually small. And the majority of churches are these Pentecostal and evangelical, like Baptist type churches.
Are they starting to slow down the evangelical movement in Honduras? Like, we were in Mexico with our youth group this last, April, and we were almost kicked out because Mexico is slowing down the pipelines of evangelicals.
Yeah.
I mean, is that happening too in Honduras?
I don't think so. It's not happening as much. It's more of an anti, there's more of a Roman Catholicism has a much stronger hold on in Mexico. And there's also a tradition of anti clerical tradition that's at work there in Mexico.
I'm really astonished to hear what little impact it seems that liberation theology and the preferential option for the poor, all the changes that we've heard about in the Catholic Church since 68 and on, seem to have made. Is that because of people like Archbishop Romero have been killed or intimidated?
No, it's just that you have groups like that that exist, but they're a minority in the Catholic Church, and they're a minority in the Protestant Church. But where they exist, they have a powerful impact. There were Jesuits that in one of the regions where we worked that were very committed and had a liberation perspective. And, you know, but right next to them were some diocesan priests who were very conservative.
You know, so it just varied very much from region to region. And of course, some of the diocesan priests were wonderful too, you know, but it just, I guess it's similar to around, you know, to here. You have some pastors that are more, you know, sort of in touch with the gospel than others. And, you know, but there it's even more, it's more rare to find a message of grace and a message of forgiveness.
It is, there's also a scarcity of church workers, you know. If you take a piece of paper and crumple it, that's like the topography of Honduras. It's very hard to reach many regions, and so many of them are basically with no priest or any celebrated word to go.
Well, the one thing that I noticed from other people, we have this angry. There's one thing looking at them that I don't see them as angry.
Dice que aquí miramos el enojo como pues la cólera o el enojo como una reacción a esto. Pero él dice que mirando a ustedes él no mira ninguna actitud de enojo. Pero es que esto existe en su país. Esa es una de las reacciones.
Sí, existe.
So there is a lot of anger in the people. So really, what we see is that the dominant, you know, the relationship between the dominant classes and the poor is a very similar dynamic between the average person and their image of God. So people's feelings about themselves before God are very, very similar to what they would feel before the dominant classes. So that's where liberation theology has such a powerful impact, is in bringing the social sciences to bear on situations. You know, to come in and say, okay, well, let's look at some of the reasons for poverty. Instead of it being just God's will, let's look at are there reasons why, you know, why the land isn't producing so much. And, you know, teaching basic social analysis is one way to, in a way, to get God off the hook, you know, for being the one to blame for all of this. I mean, if your child has anemic dysentery, then maybe he died because he drank water that wasn't boiled. You know, it's not God's will, it's because of ignorance about the importance of boiling water. Or if your crop failed for the third year in a row, you know, maybe it's not God's will, but maybe it's just because nobody's ever come to teach intensive hillside agricultural systems or methods that allow people to protect their land and keep it from eroding away. So anyway, social analysis is one factor that helps. And, you know, of course, the social analysis in the 80s, 70s and 80s, Marxism was really very closely associated with liberation theology and just the Marxist social analysis of you know, class divisions and everything, and describing that as a negative thing. That, you know, the reasons for poverty were economic, based on exploitation, things like that. That was a powerful means for a lot of poor communities to suddenly see, oh, you know, I'm poor because of exploitation, I'm not poor because it's God's will, right? Good question, Doug.
Yeah, I walked in a few minutes late, and perhaps I missed this, but could you briefly describe for me what liberation theology is? I don't know if you're talking about that directly.
Well, we're a little bit, that's not really our theme for today, but okay. Liberation theology is reflecting on God and the scriptures from a commitment to the liberation of marginalized peoples. Okay, so it's deliberately taking a position of being on the side of salvation, liberation, healing among those who are at the very bottom. And it's reflecting on the scriptures and on God and on all the themes of theology from that perspective. Okay, that's and so usually it leads to a different perspective on God. I mean, kind of what we're doing right now is entering into that sort of reflection. When we say, okay, well, is God like that? Well, you know, no. Well, how do we know? You know, what basis do we have for God not being like that? And if that's not God's will, God's will is not that people are this way. Okay, what is God's will? What are the scriptures? How do the scriptures witness differently? What kind of God do the scriptures witness to? Okay, and what might that mean for our action? One of the things that I want to get to now is, what is the impact of this theology on the people? Okay. Quiero que pasamos a otro tema de cuál es el impacto de esta teología en este sistema, pues social también, donde los clases dominantes oprimen a los pequeños. ¿Cuál es el impacto de esta manera de ser sociedad, pues, y de ver a Dios también sobre la gente? ¿Cuáles son los resultados de este sistema?
Aislamiento.
One of the results of this system, of the impacts of it, is isolation. Mm-hmm. People feel isolated. Mm-hmm. ¿Qué más?
I think self-fulfilled prophecy in a way, because people, if they think that, and they feel it so much, they interiorize it, and the frustration builds up so much within them, and then they see themselves that way, and then maybe out of frustration they will take it out on someone smaller than them, just like it's happened to them, you know. So there's kind of this repeating of the same cycle of violence.
So the man who's kicked kicks his wife, and his wife beats the kids, and the kids kick the dog, and the dog.
I see that, you know, I've seen that.
Goes all the way down.
Yeah. Lo peor es que hay personas que aceptan que no tienen derecho.
The worst thing is that when people accept that they have no rights. So resignación. So resignation would be one of the major negative impacts. You know.
Sí, sí, yo creo que hay gente que a temprana edad es acomplejada.
There's a people in our country that at a very young age are, have a complex.
Se frustran.
And they're very frustrated.
Sin embargo, yo he visto personas de que yo digo por mí mismo.
Nevertheless, I've seen people, and I speak from my own experience.
Cuando alguien me trataba así,
when somebody treated me bad,
yo me propuse a salir de donde me encontraba.
I was more motivated to get out of that situation.
Y entonces lo demostré, me forcé para poder coronar mi carrera con miles de dificultades, pero la coroné.
And I made an effort, more of an effort, to, you know, to work hard to get out of my situation and have my career.
Hice una casa.
Second case.
Siempre los ricos decían, esa casa es de mi abuelo, decía alguien, porque él le quitó un préstamo, se la va a quitar cualquier rato. Malos, porque yo estaba haciendo una casa bonita.
People were always saying about me when I started building my own house, he says that house is from his grandparents who got a loan, and at any time that their house will be taken back. And that was like a criticism that was hurtful to him, because he built this with his own efforts.
Porque ellos habían visto de dónde había salido yo, de dónde había salido yo.
They'd seen how far down I'd come from.
Y era cierto que yo le debía una cierta cantidad a esa persona.
It's true that I did have a debt to somebody.
Él en sí es una buena persona, pero lo obligaron a que me presentara un ultimato, comprometiéndome a mí que le debía tal cantidad y que si no se la pagaba entre un mes, me quitaba todo lo que tenía y lo que podía obtener en un futuro.
And they did make me sign a paper saying that if I didn't pay what I owed in one month, that I would, everything that I had would be taken away, and that I would never be given any loan again.
Does this powerlessness and resignation for the young people lead to one of the things that they've talked about is them leaving and going to the cities or going north, but does it also lead to crime and to drugs?
Esta impotencia, este sentimiento de no tener poder, esto, ustedes han dicho que a veces esto empuja a la gente a irse para el norte o a la ciudad, pero también esto puede empujar a la gente a los vicios.
Los jóvenes
drogas. Hay gente que se...
Yes, very much, yes.
Sí, tiene razón.
You're right.
La gente se frustra y dice...
Frustrated.
No tengo ningún valor.
Say, I don't have any value.
Y entonces se pierde en la drogadicción y otra cosa. Y entonces ahí es ahí el papel del ministerio que dice conocer a Dios,
llevar
el mensaje. El mensaje, pero demostrarle de que Dios no es un Dios garrote, sino que es Dios, Dios de amor.
¿Iba a decir algo, Jorge?
No.
Algunas personas piensan diferente al verse así
Excluida,
sí.
Some people who feel excluded
por las clases dominantes,
by the dominant classes.
Entonces ellos se ponen en un plan conformista.
They conform themselves to that.
Y se aíslan y dicen,
and they isolate themselves.
Que yo no valgo nada.
And they say, I have no value.
Un conformismo que crían.
And there's a conformity, conformation, or resignation.
Se escuchan expresiones, pero no.
Y la mayoría se van a los vicios.
And the majority go into and get involved in, I mean, in alcohol.
En nuestro país se organizan grupos de delincuentes.
In our country, there's an organ. People organize into groups of criminals.
Y principalmente jóvenes.
And mainly, they're made up of young people. This is something that's happening all over the world, actually. You know, I mean, I see it happening in our county as well, and for the same reasons.
I think Jorge was talking before about his son who was accused of being a rebel.
Creo usted que usted estaba hablando de que su hijo fue acusado de ser un pues un jefe de una mafia.
I'm just wondering what impact the rebel movement has had on them.
Es que los movimientos revolucionarios han tenido algún impacto sobre ustedes.
En un tiempo.
At one point, it did.
En un tiempo, eso fue del 90 para atrás.
In
la década del 80.
In the 1980s. That's what we've done.
Hoy, no.
But now it's no longer.
Yo he estado un poco involucrado en lo político de nuestro país.
I was a little bit involved in the politics of my country.
Habían unos batallones especiales.
There were special battalions.
Bien entrenados.
They were very well trained.
Para matar, para torturar, para controlar la guerrilla, aunque en Honduras no había guerrilla. Pero estaban preparados porque Guatemala, El Salvador y Nicaragua, había guerrilla interna. Entonces, los norteamericanos llevaron batallones a
Honduras
para proteger
de
la guerrilla.
Honduras from the guerrillas.
Había unos ejércitos especializados.
Special army.
En ese tiempo era peligroso.
At that point it was dangerous.
Organizar una junta directiva aunque fuera para poner un proyecto de agua.
It was dangerous to organize a small committee in your village even to put a water project.
Sí. Tenía que estar el ejército informado para qué era.
You had to be informed about what the purpose of every reunion was.
Bueno. Ahora no, del 90 para acá,
since 1990, that's
todo cambió. Hay batallones que están cerrados.
There are battalions that are all closed down now.
Ya la política en Honduras ha cambiado mucho, mucho.
The politics in Honduras has changed a lot.
Y en cuanto a eso, al problema del compañero, son problemas personales.
There are still problems, but they're more personal problems.
Personales. Que por algún motivo no quieren la persona,
for some reason, a person doesn't like another
y no hayan cómo
dañarlo. But they don't know how to hurt them.
Entonces buscan un medio.
So they look out for a means.
Sí. Pero sí es cierto que en Honduras, en las ciudades,
but it's true that in Honduras,
en donde nosotros
cities,
vivimos, no se observa. Pero en las ciudades grandes,
cities,
hay maras organizadas por lo mismo que estamos hablando todos, la pobreza, el menosprecio. Cuando un joven se siente que no vale,
when a young person feels like they have no value,
huye,
they take off.
Él piensa huir el problema, pero la verdad es que el problema lo tiene y se va a la ciudad y no hay otra alternativa que organizarse para defenderse.
But to join a group in order to defend themselves.
El mismo grupo Tierra Nueva de Honduras fue criticado de que éramos un grupo subversivo. Tuvimos que informar a las autoridades e incluso invitarles porque teníamos un líder que era revolucionario. Pero yo creo que eso se perdió en la década del 80, fue muy... Había mucha se perseguía mucho la gente que tenía ideas revolucionarias. Y volviendo al asunto de la pobreza, hay gente que, producto de la frustración, ya dicen, Julano
because of frustration.
Va a tener, ya nació para tener dinero. O en otras palabras,
they would say Jeff, or whatever, he was born to have money.
Julano nació para ser estrella.
Or Jeff was born to be a star.
Y yo ya nací estrellado.
And I was born to be, you know, who I am, whatever, poor. So destiny, right? Which falls into this theology where God is all-powerful, omnipresent, omnipotent. You know, this God of everything that happens, right? So anyway, what we're seeing basically, put it in other terms, is a high theology kind of breeds a low anthropology. The higher your image of God, in terms of more distant and far, I don't mean high in the, you know, in the positive sense, but distant or whatever, the bigger and the more majestic God is, the more of a worm that you feel, okay, the lower the anthropology. Unless you happen to be closely associated with the high God, because you measured up by following the right rules, okay? And of course, the rules, the way to get to this place from here is clearly marked out. It's a narrow path by both the evangelical and the Catholics. And it involves a whole system of moral behaviors that are very rigorous, right? And the churches compete among themselves about who has the most rigorous system to kind of bring people into the place of privilege, right? The evangelicals are divided. Some of them, the Pentecostals, would say, we have to speak in tongues and you have to meet every single night of the week and you have to completely pull yourself away from everything unholy. And if you're a woman, you can't wear pants, you have to wear dresses and you can't speak in church. And if you're a man, you have to be subservient to whatever the pastor says. And you know, but then the Baptists, they might say, well, no, you know, you have to do all those things except you don't have to speak in tongues. In fact, if you speak in tongues, then you're not going to get to the place of privilege. And then the Catholics, they would say, well, you have to be in compliance with all of the different rules. If you have gone to your first communion, well, no, you haven't. Well, then you can't. You have no right to baptize your children. Or if you're not married, then you have no right to communion or to baptize your children. And, you know, so everybody has their systems of rules, right? That is rewarded by body of Christ. A welcoming into the kingdom of God and into an assurance of eternal salvation. So all of this is really the dominant, you know, way that God is viewed. And I would say in Honduras and Mexico, but also in the jails, the people that I work with, both white, black, Native American, Hispanic, I would say that this is the theology that reigns in our streets and churches. And the good Lutheran theology that pretty much remains in the nice Lutheran churches and in the seminaries and doesn't usually trickle down, just like the money doesn't trickle down. So, anyway,
Before the end of the week, are you going to provide us with a vehicle for support?
Yes. Tomorrow we are going to talk about a positive sort of response to this dark, you know, kind of oppressive situation. But we didn't want to go too fast, you know, to that point, because it's critical for people to sense and to feel the oppressiveness of this, because this is the daily reality. Okay. Jubilee is a nice idea that's talked about in very few places, but it really isn't felt in places where I work. And it's felt even less in places where Jorge and where these people live. You know, but the work of Tierra Nueva and the work of many other ministries around the world in this country, you know, to empower people and to bring the good news. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about just one model of how that can be done. And then the next thing we'll be talking about some of the barriers and the obstacles that we confront to the objectives of liberation, you know, of a holistic sort of gospel proclamation. And then the last day we'll be talking about specifically up north, you know, the difficulties that people, immigrants face in the north and sort of, you know, immigrant issues really and how we're trying to respond to by having a ministry, an ecumenical ministry to migrant farm workers. So anyway, yeah, there'll be vehicles or ways to talk about the positive response for sure. I think it's time for lunch.
Well, then thank you for sharing.
Gracias por haber. Gracias.